Hello everybody, this is Victor here from Trend Following Trading for Beginners, and here's my weekly update on my Sambo trading portfolio, coming up next. Hello everybody, welcome back to another one of my episode. Something strange happened this week as far as I'm concerned. Basically, the market this week has been doing particularly well, which is great, fantastic, and it's making quite a bit of money for me. But there's something strange. I mean, for the whole week, for the Dow Jones, it may effectively have just gone up and up and up, and all the week, I think, gained about maybe around 1,000, 1,200 points, which is great. But something also strange is happening in the background. That is, if any of you actually chase or looking at the treasury yields, the 10 years and 30 years. Over the past month or two, probably much longer than that, the yields of 10 and 30 years of U.S. treasury bonds have basically gone up, which means that people are selling the U.S. treasuries. And so to attract more people buying it, the yield have to increase, so to speak. Okay. So when the yield increases, I mean the treasury price, treasury bond price, U.S. treasury in this case, is going down. So for the past week or two, I mean, gone past 1.4 and gone past 1.5, now it's towards 1.6. That's for 10 years treasury bill, which is quite high. And there's people talk about go to 1.8 or even 7 or 2.0 or something, you know, very, very high number. And for the 30 years treasury bond is creep up from like 2%, 2.1, then now to 2.3. So what does that mean to me? As far as I'm concerned, the treasury bonds are supposed to be the next sure thing, right? Because it's backed by the US government, the most stable government in the world. So when they issue treasury bonds, people around the world are actually buying them. And because it's a good yield as well, so what people have to put money in the stock market. So the train of thought is this: if the yields increases in the U.S. Treasury bond, the stock market should sort of peak or come down or tanked a bit because people put money from elsewhere, most likely from the U.S. stock market because so much money, and basically, and therefore go into the U.S. Treasury. And that is the train of thought because it's much safer actually put your money in the Treasury. But however, when you look at the stock market, when this time the market is up like 1,200 points, like I said earlier, in the US, and even the NASDAQ, which have been tanking quite a while for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so, and have basically recovered quite a bit last week. So it's like Tesla and so forth, some of the technology shares. But when you also then look at the yields, US Treasury yields, it's continuing to go up. So the market came on telling you, okay, the treasury goes up, the market supposed to the stock market will tank, but it didn't on this run. And then you also look at another train of thought that is, when the market is doing well, okay, and people say money going to the stock market, then the gold prices, the commodity prices should continue to tank as well. So in this case, the gold price should go down because it doesn't yield anything, doesn't give you any dividends, whatever. It's just there to as a store of money, wealth, this kind of thing. And it's also against inflation. But essentially, when the stock market gone up last week, you also see the gold seems to have stabilized. It have suddenly gone down to around 1670 or 1670. And then it for about a day or so, and then shoot back up to 1700 again. So gold didn't actually continue to fall. In fact, as far as I'm concerned from my analysis, it looks like it hit the bottom of a downward channel and is trying to creep back up. Minimum, I think, go sideways or try to go up. So that's another funny train of thought. So 1 minute the stock market say, oh, if the U.S. stock market go up, then gold should go down. But we've seen last week gold price gone up, and then also people are saying, oh, another train of thought is when U.S. Treasury Treasury yield gone up, and that means the stock market is about to tank, but the stock market in tank. So everything seems to go out of whack. So this is why I'm saying the trend following. You follow the system and then follow the price or whatever instrument you're looking at. And all this news, all these people explanations from financial things and stuff. It just all gone bananas. It's got stupid. So this is really, really, really weird. And also, I have a look at basically gold and silver. Basically, when the U.S. Treasury yield sort of like to the bottom, to the really, really near bottom, I think like 10 years Treasury was near 0.5 percentage point. And that was in August 2020. And now to like 1.6 to now, just this past week. So like for the past, you know, not a year yet, but like 9 months or so, this have continued, the US Treasury yield has continued to go up. And so is the precious metal basically continue to go down. But if the gold price bounce is not temporary and stabilizes, well, I think that we are actually looking at could well be, you know, the bottom of gold and silver prices. Okay, the 10 years or 30 years, yeah, my US Treasury bill might still continue to go a bit more. Yeah, so that could be also reflected on the gold and silver later on, might still go down a little bit. But I think unless the yields actually come back down again, stop advancing, I think gold and silver probably, you know, will have, you know, what you call stabilize the falling of the prices. So we just had to wait and see. But the market seems to be telling all sorts of different things, different stories. 1 minute or a couple of months ago, a couple of weeks ago, tell you one thing, and now it changes mind to something else. So all this financial news about, you know, Fox News or CNBC, whatever those financial news that people watch is actually, in my view, wrong. They actually got no clue what's actually the market is going on. And they just provide some sort of comment, their view. And they try to make it as that is the, you know, what actually happening. Nobody actually knows what the hell is going on. What we see is the price action of sums of all the participants in the stock market, either individual retail investor like by ourselves, or institutional investor, or even government, moving things around and causing the ripple effect around, you know, all the stock prices or commodity prices or the forex exchange. So I think, I mean, this is a good thing to actually learn from, is that, you know, for the past week, a lot of things that, you know, what we think before, what we told about before, seems to have changed track. So basically, we just had to wait and see what happened next. And the other thing really is, for continue, probably seen some news about the COVID vaccination. I said before, some of the vaccination obviously has been, you know, working for a lot of people, but because the sample size before they go to actually allowed to be, you know, for general use, the sample size to test on patients was rather small, you know, only in like 10,000 or 20,000, something very small. But now when you roll up to 7.8 billion people around the world, and we now start to see all sorts of different funny things going on. AstraZeneca is causing apparently blood clots, and some in European countries and in Ireland, Norway, and Denmark stopped using it. And Sinovac, I believe that's a Chinese vaccine, also causing some, you know, unexpected death in Hong Kong as well. So there's a lot of this and that actually going on. And we just have to wait and see what happened next. It's just, I think as the vaccine is rolled out more to more and more people, you'll see probably more of the actual side effect that can actually happen. Yes, some of them may unfortunately cause a death rate, but I think overall it's still very useful. Unfortunately, I think the stock market are pricing that the vaccination, or just like any other vaccine, will always work. Hardly anybody die or nobody dies at all, and it will be well used by around the world. But I think that's not the case, you know, like even the vaccine, let's say everything works 100%. Some country, the rich country seems to have it, and then other country don't. Like in China, I mean, people in US is saying Chinese is using the vaccine as like diplomacy, in a foreign diplomacy, that's what they call it. But it's not, it basically, the Chinese is sharing with other countries first while they, you know, still try to vaccinate their own people. But look at Europeans, you know, they just tell AstraZeneca and to say, you know, you cannot just give, you know, the dosage to to Australia, because they haven't lived up to their promises to give certain amount of vaccines dosage to European Union. So all sorts of things is happening. What about to South Africa and other countries who are, or Latin America, who have no money or very little money compared to the richer country to buy the vaccines? They are at the back of the queue. So the spread of the COVID, as well as these variants, you know, probably might not be that controlled that well, because it's the lack of vaccination being going around the world, you know, in a proper way. And to my view anyway, this causes, you know, who the trust effect, you know, which vaccine is going to be trusted by, let's say, the World Health Organization, or by America, or by Russia, or by China, or by Europe. That nobody talks about that as well. So when, as and when the actual international traveling allowed to go back to its normal way, there's got to be some sort of vaccination passport, you know, development or something. But at this stage, nobody talks about it. So so overall, I think the market is well over its head, I think. And it also shows up in Bitcoin, I believe, yesterday, Saturday, the 13th of March, is actually gone above 60,000 marks. And GameStop came back to life in US, you know, this I think it ended the week at 265. It was around 350. Not as mad as like 500 before in January, but at least, you know, recovered quite a bit, you know. So it's just saying, you know, the market's showing a lot of weird things going on. And the main street, as far as I'm concerned, is like, you know, loads of people still in furlough or government-funded, you know, stay-at-home kind of thing. And it's not making, actually have job to go, might not have a job to go back to. And loads of, what you call, landlords not getting paid, either as residential or commercial, because people don't have a job, and therefore they cannot pay the mortgage or the rent. So the the residential landlord is having a bit of hard time, tough time. So it's the commercial one. A lot of shops are not allowed to open. Okay, let's just look at UK here. You know, the COVID-19 restriction, have been locked down second times, and none of the shops are really open, except, you know, selective shops. But you go to buy some clothes or something, it's not open. And you have to go buy online, so it's not doing well at all. But even if you look at the other thing, I sort of tracking through McDonald's and Yum Group, which is KFC, owner of KFC, tracking their stock market, the stock prices. Even they are doing sideways. Yeah, you have recovered a bit, but for like past 3-4 months, it's been trading sideways. So what is actually the share price is actually trading as is. Yes, it has allowed the government around the world allow maybe McDonald's and KFC to reopen, but they're not doing that great either. Even though, you know, they're in the fast food industry, they're not that expensive with the food wise, and there are a lot of people go there and Deliveroo or something to pick up food and then send it to different people at their home, deliver it to their doorstep, so to speak. But even then, okay, they don't have people can sit in the restaurants and eat their food, but the delivery is still available. To that, it's still making McDonald's and Yum Group not doing particularly well, even though they have a way of making money. Obviously, it's not as good as, you know, people go into the shops and sit down there and eat and stay and possibly buy some more food. But at least it's making some money. But for McDonald's and Yum Group, KFC, I think from the share price telling you the real economy, how's it like? Even if you're allowed to open, it's still a lot of lost a lot of grounds, and still need a lot of things to make up for the prices. So for that in the main street, as far as I'm concerned, the stock market just basically ignores it, totally ignores actually happening, what actually happening in the real world, so to speak. So as far as I'm concerned, this the stock market behavior, really out of whack with the main street is, yes, of course, if the stimulus package from the US government or government around the world, not just US, Chinese doing it, just less, Europeans doing it, UK, British is doing it, and so forth. But this flood of money has really got nowhere else to go. We're just going to the stock market and just causing a lot of things going up. But like we have seen before, like the dot-com bubble, at the end of the day, you might have some share price actually gone to the moon, so to speak. But at the end of the day, like Warren Buffett say, the stock market will become a weighing machine over long term. So if the underlying shares or the companies are not making as much profit because we're still in COVID-19 world, so to speak. It's not even, you know, tame yet. It's there. It's had its variants. It's causing various issues. We have vaccinations. The vaccines around, and the vaccinations is not going particularly well. The side effects and causing people scares. There's also lockdown and so forth, and there's various stages and forms around the world. And so at the end of the day, what will be happening is people sooner or later, maybe take them a year or two, to actually look at, oh, those stocks in the stock market are not actually making as much money. It just basically a flood of money that actually pushing share price up. And people will start to realize, oh, and then give them a reset, so to speak, like a dot-com bubble burst kind of thing, you know, 2003 thing. And then people will actually look at the actual earnings of the companies, and they're not making money. So that would just causing, you know, share prices to reset. And when that happens, it could be quite telling. That's just something that I think best everybody needs to watch out for. So I think this is something that for me to basically watch. And I think a lot of you will probably have to have a look at that as well. So basically that's the update for this week. Next is my update of my portfolio. Okay, first of the batch is Apple. Short term is a sales in the last week, neutral, medium term and long term is also neutral. So not much changes here. So even though the Nasdaq recovered a little bit over the last week, but Apple, as far as Apple is concerned, still a sell. Next is Amazon. Short term is still a sell, but medium term is changed to neutral now. So the recovery of the stock market, the technology market, seems to be have affected the share price a bit. So in a positive way, but on the long term system, it's still a sell. But watch out for the 20 days moving average line is try to break above that. So there's a good change signal, but if that is broken, I think that's a strong signal. But if it's kept as a ceiling and Amazon price share price couldn't go above 20 days moving average, then I think there's also a continuous good short term sell actually going to open a trade for it. The reason being is the 20-day moving average is very close to the actual stock price. So if you go in and short this Amazon share, even if it's like if it break above 20-day moving average, the risk is much much lower. So I think it's worthwhile to mention and to watch out for that. Next is US dollars against Australian dollar against US dollars. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. On this front, the US dollar index seems to have peaked. I think went up like last week to 92.7 around that area, but then have since come back down to to below 92, so around 91.7 area. So let's just have to wait and see what happens. US dollar index will have a bit of legs room to go up yet, but we just have to wait and see. This 92-93 areas always seems to be have, you know, a bit of a ceiling for the price to move up. So if the US dollar index is supposed to break this and go higher, it has to break above 93 before it shows it actually has changed size. So wait and see. Next is Brent crude and US crude oil WTI. Both of them, short term, medium term, and long term is a buy, so there's no changes here. There's some news about OPEC not cutting the output or something, or sorry, not increasing the output, just to keep the share price up, crude oil up. But I think it's also a sign that the countries around the world have spent a lot of money on basically helping the economy because of COVID-19 issue, and for the Saudi, basically they would like to, you know, keep the crude oil their only commodity, basically selling to the world, to have a higher price so they can use the extra revenue, extra money to pay for its benefits at the end, and also its government coffin. So and also because of inflation as well, in US dollar, as far as I'm concerned, is tanking. Because if you look at it another way, the US dollar index has recovered a bit back to 92.7 or so around that area. And then you have the Brent crude oil basically just didn't budge, didn't actually go back down. didn't actually go down, is reflective of, you know, a stronger US dollar, that means to be cheaper crude oil price, right? But it's not. It actually stayed there and it recovers a bit. So I personally feel this is basically underlying signs of inflation, so we need to watch out for. As far as I'm concerned, from what I my research tells me, the US oil price for cars and gasoline and so forth to continue to go up is, you know, I think double or something from last year when, you know, nobody wants oil in general, and Brent crude and WTI actually gone negative. Now it's around $60-$70dollar in barrels for these two commodities, for crude oil in general. I think you know, inflation definitely coming. Doesn't matter how the US government or Feds, how they calculate it, but you know, you and I are the average Joe, and go to the pumping station and put gas in gasoline to your car, we know the prices have gone up, and inflation comes in either you like it or not. That's how I see it. Therefore, we should be good for gold, but we just have to wait and see. Next is DAX. Short term is a buy, medium term is also changed to buy from last week, neutral, long term is a buy. So US stock market recovery seems to have rubbed off a little bit to the DAX in Germany. Next is Dow Jones. Short term is a buy, medium term is a buy, long term is a buy. So yeah, it just last week about 1200 points increase definitely have helped the Dow Jones, and now it's a buy across the board. Next is FTSE. Short term is buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy, no change from last week. I mean, FTSE out of all the other indices around the world, it's always been the one of you know, the lagger behind, and as far as I'm concerned, it's just going sideways at the moment. Next is gold. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a sell. Yes, so overall gold and just a silver still a sell. But I think I believe Wednesday when they make the low, 1760 or 1670 area. I think that might be it. I was hoping, I guess, hope it might go down to even 1600, because I think around that area got a lot of support there. But it didn't even touch there. It just basically, you know, briefly stayed about, you know, 1670 and then come back up to 1700 now. I believe it ended last Friday at about 1725, something around that area. So we just have to wait and see. I mean, gold probably not recover right away. I think there are probably some sideways trade, but as far as I'm concerned, the low might be in. But as far as trend foreign is concerned, we don't know. We just have to let the actual price action to actually tell us what happened. Next is Hong Kong Index, Shanghai. Hang Seng Index. Short term is a sell. Medium term is neutral, long term is neutral as well. So this one is not doing particularly well. I think there is a small head and shoulder trying to formation in there as well. I think Nasdaq did that earlier, but that seems to have broken the formation. The last week, the Nasdaq seems to recover quite a bit. So that formation is gone, but it's showing its head, this head and shoulder thing in Hang Seng Index as well. So watch out. Next is obviously is Nasdaq. Like I said earlier, the price have recovered quite a bit over the last week, along with the mean indices in America. So short term is now a buy, medium and long term still neutral. We just had to wait and see what happens. I mean, last year we have Nasdaq, obviously all the technology shares due to COVID-19. Causing all of us, most of us still working from home. So technology is leading the way. But I think this year, as the vaccine continue to be rolled out, yes, there were side effects, there might be a difference. Well, you know, different countries use different vaccinations, that kind of thing, or different way to roll it out. But I think as more and more of us get vaccinated, the more people will then slowly, I mean, the countries around the world will like people go back to work, right? So the ministry will just quietly and slowly recover. And I think the technology share will still go, you know, have good business and so what to do. But I think the high that we've seen in last 12 months, I think Nasdaq and any technology shares will probably have its good day rate. So this year might not be, you know, as stellar like Tesla. You know, I don't see it actually doing a 700% increase or something this year, but it will reflect on the Nasdaq in America and any technology indices around the world. So we just wait and see. But short term wise, it's a buy, and we'll just wait to see how long this will last. Next is Nikkei. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. Slightly changed from last week, but short term wise, it's still a sell. Next is silver, similar to gold. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is neutral. Like I said before, silver seems to be lagging all the way behind gold, and even, you know, move up or down like that. So we just have to wait and see how when silver will start to move up following gold. Next is US dollars against Chinese yuan, the Chinese dollars. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a neutral, so similar to last week. Yes, the Chinese dollar is strengthening, and but it's slightly weakened so far. It has been strengthening for the past, I believe, last 6 months or 9 months or so. Now it's getting a bit brief of space. US dollars, you know, sort of, you know, strengthening a little bit, but not much. Only short term is changed, it's flat. Medium and long term just, you know, stay neutral. So it's not making any new high weakness yet. So US dollar and Chinese dollar is basically having a fight at the moment. Just a wait and see. Next is US dollar again, Japanese yen. Short term is a buy, medium term is a buy, long term is a buy. So yeah, the stock market in America continue to go up, and then you've seen the Japanese yen, we've seen as a safe haven in time of turmoil, continue to weaken. But how long will it last to go up there? You know, as far as I'm concerned, there's a between 109 and 110, there's a downward trend. Top trend line coming down from there. Actually might have a bit of put a bit of upside selling to the Japanese yen's weakness against US dollar, so just wait and see. Next is British pound against Japanese yen, and British pound against US dollars. Essentially, British pound against Japanese yes, buy across the board, short, medium and long term is a buy, but against the US dollar, because the recent dollar basically increasing strength. So short term, British pound against US dollar is a sell, but medium and long term still a buy. So just a wait and see there. Bitcoin, I said earlier, yesterday broke about the 60,000 mark. So short term and long term still a buy. It just continued to buy. So like I said before, I mean, all this news about, you know, Bitcoin actually show new highs and so forth. And you use trend following, the price have changed. And your system, if it's trend following based, you have noticed the price changed, and therefore you have gone into the stock market to actually, you know, buy Bitcoin. So we don't really need the news in that front. The news basically, you know, telling you what's actually going on, that something that you already know. So this is the, in a good way of, you know, this is why I like trend following, is when the price of shares or commodities, whatever you're tracking, is changed. You then lash on it because your system tells you to, then the news comes in or some other thing explained to you why it's going on. So to me anyway, I mean, the financial news, it's nice to listen to them, but I don't put much weight on it because a lot of time I think they may be wrong. They could be wrong. I don't think anybody knows everything what's actually in the market, because there's too many of us in the stock market. How do you know? We have government doing things, we have financial institutions, big, small, medium-sized, all doing things. And you have us, the average Joes, who try to get some money out of the stock market, so to speak. You know, this big melting pot, who knows what's actually going on? And the financial news around the world try to tell you things, this is what they think, or that's what's happening. They might be right in certain extents, but I think trust-wise, I would rather trust the price action and then use my systems and then trust my system output than the financial loop. That's just me. Next is iShares 20TLT ETF. Across the board is a sell for this one, short-term, medium, and long-term, because basically the US Treasury yield is continuing to go up. That means US Treasury bond price is going down, TLT track bond prices, and therefore it's going down. So we just had to wait and see. On Friday, there was a big gap down below as well. So it's quite strange in the Treasury bonds. You know, we read the news saying, I think Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, US Treasury was selling a lot of US government bonds in various years and denomination. It actually went quite okay. But then if that's okay, then why on Friday suddenly there's a big drop in the bond prices, and therefore the yield suddenly shoot up? And this weekend is like 1.62 at the moment. It's even higher than 1.6. So So if people are buying U.S. Treasury bond, but who out there is actually shorting to U.S. Treasury bond and therefore causes the big jump in yield? Remember, U.S. Treasury bond is not, it's controlled not by us, you know, small people or the institutions, even though how much money they have got. This is controlled bonds market around the world, is controlled by the governments. So which government actually selling it and who is actually buying it, it's worthwhile to ask those questions. But at the end of the day, that we see the sum total is, the yields continue to go up, and U.S. Treasury bond price continue to go down, and TLT, TFE is tracking it. So it's sell across board, but it's good, worthwhile just to find out what's going on. Just the issue of my, but as far as concerned, trend following system say, you know, it's a sell, continue to sell and stay short. Next is Tesla. Short term is a buy. Medium term is neutral. Long term is neutral. Yeah, the recovery in NASDAQ and technology price, share prices across the board last week was really good for Tesla. But we just have to see how much it will affect long term wise for Tesla. Next is Australian index XJL. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy still. This one overall, if you look at the actual price, it's more or less going across, you know, sideways, a bit like FTSE 100 in UK. And it's not doing much there, so we just wait and see how things goes. Last but not least is Alibaba. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a sell. There's some news coming out from the Chinese government, basically is, you know, having this antitrust investigations and similar to what happens in Europe, in America, and people initially just worry about Alibaba getting stung. But you know, the Chinese government looking at the whole thing across the board, just like a lot of government around the world is. And Tencent is also in the frame, and then so as other one local in China. So overall, the Chinese government is definitely going to put his foot on it. I think overall what really causes issue for the Chinese government is, you know, Chinese government is still Communist Party, you know, we have a bit of socialism, a bit of capitalism, but at the end of the day, they want to remain in power, they want to control things. That's what communist does. Okay, and for Alibaba comes in with some Western style, some other funny way of solving Chinese, you know, online purchasing problems, which is great. But up to a point, Chinese government allowed it, but up to when it's gone too big, too large, and not in really regulated, I think Alibaba is there to be stepped on by any government. I mean, would you like, let's say America, allow Amazon to lend everybody, you know, I don't know, $2,000-$3,000 to buy anything, and then across the board, and then there's no regulation on it, so then people keep on buying the Amazon stuff or from this commonplace marketplace, whatever, buying stuff and unable to pay at the end. You know what happened? You know who's gonna suffer? And then what does that mean to the financial institution? You know, if it's not regulated, Amazon is lending people money, and if it's not regulated under the banking code, whatever, in America, you can continue to lend more money to people, to even to people who cannot afford it, and that can cause social unrest. You know, a lot of mass deaths around the world. It's rightly so around the world. People in Europe and in Western countries controlling it, not allowed too much, you know, free credit running around. So why is China not allowed to do this? You know, when China is doing this, it's bad. Have nobody actually foreseen the rise of Alibaba, this Alipay, the way that they dominate the market, what, 60% or something? With Tencent together, they dominate the market like 90% together. I mean, of course, any country, any government will control will step on it. And now basically, oh, Chinese actually step on it. It's against Alibaba. It's not good. Not good control for foreign investors and things. Well, just get real, you know. If the Western world allowed to do it, why China cannot do it? As far as I'm concerned, you know, they can do whatever they need to do to stabilize the country, to have, you know, have a good growth, and monitor the growth of lending on and how people spend money on internet as well, you know, so to have a stable environment for everybody, not just, you know, some Chinese people. So as far as I'm concerned, Alibaba is in the doghouse. But it has its strength. I think it probably gets stung quite big time by a Chinese government, just like American government was stung by Amazon and Apple, that kind of people, or Europeans. So no difference, the Chinese get stung, Alibaba or Tencent with a very large fine. But once that's gone out of the way, I think Alibaba, as far as I'm concerned, because its infrastructure, the way that it's been well used, well known, people's habits will probably stay there. So Alibaba and Tencent probably will survive much in a slightly less shape than it's now, you know, but it will continue to have its strength and its core activity. I don't think, you know, once the dust settles, Alibaba will still be, as far as I'm concerned, a long-term fundamental trade, because just the rich within China. But for a short term, it's actually a sell. You know, we just have to continue to watch out, especially under 200-day and 50-day moving average. Until it go above that, I would just continue to sell. But something, perhaps, you know, continue to watching, continue to track. I think Alibaba definitely something that I will continue to track going forward. And one day, hopefully, sometime later this year, maybe next year, when it does settle, Alibaba will be a good one to play again. Basically, that's the end of my update for this week. And I'll speak to you next week. Bye for now and stay safe. Bye-bye.